It's time again, at long last, for another episode of The Giant Foam Finger, a special sports-themed edition of Pop Culture Happy Hour. I'm Stephen Thompson. I'm a writer and editor with NPR Music, and I'm here with Gene Demby, a correspondent for NPR's Code Switch and co-host of the new Code Switch podcast. Hello,
huzzah,
Gene.
Huzzah. Let's do it, man. It's been a while. It's been a minute.
It's been a while since we've done one of these shows. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've launched a podcast. I just feel like we're completely different people. Now, I would say that it's been a while since Gene and I have had a chance to talk about sports, but that would be a lie. Gene and I talk about sports all the time.
Yes.
Often by the elevators, by each other's desks. By email. But it has been a while since we have actually recorded one of those conversations posterity. Now, that said, we recently got a perfect excuse to have a juicy conversation about pro basketball.
Yes.
And the stars have aligned perfectly to get us into the studio and make it happen. First, though, to get fully caught up, Gene, you, like me, were awfully excited when the Cleveland Cavaliers won the NBA title on June 19th.
Yes,
Am I correct in that assertion?
You are correct. It was so satisfying. There's so many great threads that came together in the NBA Finals, right? So you have LeBron James, who is the best player in the world. And he's actually the underdog in that series,
right?
You have him trying to become the first guy to come back down from 3-1 in the finals.
Yeah.
You have this, like, all-time great team in the Golden State Warriors who were playing basketball basically as well as it could be played.
Right. Who are redefining how well basketball
Right. I mean, they're just changing sort of the geometry of basketball, right?
Yeah.
And LeBron sort of mastered all four elements, went into the Avatar state, and single-handedly willed the Cavaliers, who were underdogs, to victory.
Who are a decent team. I mean, when LeBron was not on the Cavaliers, they were like a lottery team.
Like mediocre on their best
They were like
days,
the Milwaukee Bucks.
Exactly, right. And so he comes back. A lot of us have heard this at this point, but Cleveland had the longest drought of any city with at least three major professional sports teams.
Yeah, it had been 52 years.
Yeah.
And I was born outside Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone on to different sports allegiances, but I've always had a soft spot for the Browns.
Right.
And just the city.
Right, absolutely.
They are long-suffering fans. Mm-hmm. They've come close and been...
They've had their teams taken from them,
They've had teams taken from them. So I think we can agree on this.
Absolutely.
And you are also, you are a huge LeBron fan.
I am a huge LeBron apologist. Although I guess there are fewer LeBron apologists now because you don't have to be an apologist for him. You can just sort of say unequivocally that he is an all-time great one of the three or four best players ever.
Yeah, and the arc of LeBron James's career is another one of those threads you're talking about. Like, he started out, he was drafted by the Cavaliers, played for them for, you know, his rookie contract, then played for the Miami Heat, which formed a sort of super team, right? And they won a couple championships.
Right.
And then he leaves the Heat and goes back to the Cavaliers. And so he was Judas for years.
They burned his jerseys.
He was a pariah. People prematurely burned their LeBron James jerseys.
In Cleveland,
But that brings us to the big news that we're here to talk about, right?
Right.
The freshly vanquished Golden State Warriors acquired themselves a free agent by the name of Kevin Durant.
Sheesh.
Who is, Gene, would you describe Kevin Durant as a pretty good player? He's decent, right?
Kevin Durant is one of, like, those generational talents. I mean, the three best players in the NBA right now are Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and LeBron James, right?
Right.
And depending on the night, you know, they can switch. Kevin Durant is one of those guys who, like, can immediately make a middling franchise a title contender.
Right.
So a team like the Golden State Warriors, which is already basically a historically great team,
right?
They almost won the championship again this year.
They went to the, you know, final minute of Game 7 of the NBA Finals, and they won the NBA Finals the previous year.
The previous year, right. And Steph Curry, who was the star of the Golden State Warriors, has won the MVP the last two seasons. I think Kevin Durant won it the season before that.
Yeah.
And so they basically added a phenomenal, phenomenal player. And in basketball, you know, it's not football, right? It's
not.
In football and baseball, you know, adding a superstar can only sort of affect your bottom line win totals by so much, right? In basketball, I mean, one sort of top five guy.
That transcendent player totally changes.
It changes your trajectory for the next decade or so.
Yeah.
You know, Durant barely missed playing in the NBA Finals with his previous team. So it's not like he was like...
The Oklahoma City Thunder, which is still hard for me to say. The former Seattle
Supersonics,
which is what they should be.
Absolutely.
They took the Golden State Warriors to Game 7 and lost in dramatic fashion.
Right.
So Kevin Durant was already that close to a championship.
That's right.
With his other very good team, and has had very good teammates at Oklahoma City.
Right, that's absolutely right. And so for someone to jump from what is essentially like the second most talented team in basketball
to
the most talented team in basketball is the kind of thing you don't really see in American sports. Maybe you see it in like like European soccer, right? But it just doesn't happen. And so, like, a lot of people sort of compare this to LeBron James's decision to leave Cleveland to go to Miami. But Cleveland was not a really good team. I mean, they were not like legitimate contenders. They
felt inadequately supported.
Sure, that's right. Yeah. Right. And so he goes to Miami, and they were a solid team at the time. Yeah. And they had to basically build sort of a powerhouse team. But Kevin Durant is moving to a team that is basically already perfect.
Yeah,
right?
Like Golden State would have been a favorite to get the title in the 2016-2017 season.
That's right.
And now here is their projected lineup, which we'll go over very briefly. Guard Stephen Curry, the
MVP.
First ever unanimously chosen NBA MVP.
Yes.
And think about some of the players who have played basketball, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and who have not been named unanimous MVP. So you have Stephen Curry.
Right.
You have his counterpart, Klay Thompson.
All-star.
Who is an all-star, mm-hmm. who at one point in the NBA Finals hit a three, and the announcer said, Klay Thompson has set a new NBA record for most three-point shots made in a final series with, I think it was 30.
Oh my
and they
God.
Said, now keep in mind, Steph Curry, he's got 29. And literally 60 seconds later, Steph Curry hit a three and another three and just broke his record.
Yep.
That's the kind of talent that was already on this team.
Klay Thompson would have, I think, a bunch of the like single season 3-point totals if Steph Curry did not
if not for his teammate, on his own team.
Right.
Power forward Draymond Green,
mm-hmm.
an all-star, a member of the all-defensive
team,
a rugged mm-hmm. player, that the kind you need on your team.
Right, good passer.
Now they got a little small forward by the name of Kevin Durant, who is a very good player.
Right.
Now, they have a man we will call Center TBA.
who is almost just like a thought experiment.
If you know a large, very tall, sort of slow afoot gentleman, he may well be in contention to play center for the Warriors because they have absolutely no salary cap room left.
Right.
And will have to find a free agent who wants to play for minimum wage and an almost guaranteed championship.
Absolutely.
Their current center, Andrew Bogut,
just got traded.
He's out.
Yeah.
So they're going to have all these stars, mm-hmm. and then they're going to have role players.
Right.
Several of the role players are existing on their roster, are very talented.
Very,
they're
very
gonna have to. They're going to have to fill their roster with mm-hmm. some just a guy types. So my first question, all of this was a nice long throat clearing exercise for the question, will you root for this team?
So I should say my girlfriend is from the Bay. Mm-hmm. She is a Warriors fan. Her family is comprised entirely of Warriors fans. And I feel bad because as the season went on, I felt more and more like sort of contempt for the Golden State Warriors. Like, I mean, part of it is like their games were kind of boring to watch. We got a chance to see them last season. We saw them at their arena in Oakland. And they were up by 30 points at halftime.
Oh,
and we're like, okay, well, so how was your week, right? Everyone just starts talking and, you know, catching up with stuff. I think it was arguing about gentrification with someone for the rest of the game. But, you know, the Warriors are impossibly loaded, right? They become one of those teams that's easy to dislike, like the Yankees or the Cowboys, right? They seem to have like just
Cowboys in the 90s before the Cowboys stopped winning championships forever.
I mean, it wasn't that long ago that they were sort of the darlings of the league, right?
Right.
And suddenly they're starting to take on this like villain role. And now you just add this guy who is just a freakishly talented, and it's almost like it's not fair, right? I mean, there's almost no way another team could put out a lineup that would be able to match up against the weapons they have. And, you know, there's two separate things. Like, for most of sports history, it was not up to players to decide where they would play. And now they have this agency, which is good. There's, like, all to the good that's, like, you know, labor.
It's the free market.
That's how it should work.
Yeah.
Right. But Oklahoma City Thunder, him leaving there is, like, actually an existential problem for that franchise. I mean, when they're in Seattle, they're a big enough market to sort of sustain fallow periods, right? But you move to a place like Oklahoma City, and if they don't have like a guy who's a super duper star like Kevin Durant or Russell Westbrook, his teammate, who might leave next year, because you have to wonder if they can remain a viable going concern.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it is one of my questions. I mean, miracles happen. Mm-hmm. Injuries happen.
Sure,
I mean, obviously,
that's right.
When you're that stacked at the top, if a couple of those guys get hurt, that, mm-hmm. that changes the equation. But almost like, what's even the point of playing basketball if you are the Sacramento Kings or, heaven forbid, mm-hmm. the Philadelphia 76ers?
I mean, the Golden State Warriors won 73 out of a possible 82 games last year, right? I mean, there wasn't a lot of room for them to improve. And they basically took Harrison Barnes, who was a perfectly fine NBA player, a good NBA player, and replaced him with someone who is a future Hall of Famer. Like, he's going to finish his career as, like, one of the 20 best players to ever touch a basketball in his life. You know, it's almost like,
So what you're saying is, like, everybody has a right to do what they're doing.
Sure.
But is it going to be fun to watch?
And it's... At first, it was fun to watch the Golden State Warriors sort of basically, like, break basketball. There was one game, actually, in which the Golden State Warriors were playing the Oklahoma City Thunder this year. And I think Oklahoma City may have been up by a point or two with 5 seconds to go. Steph Curry gets the ball. He dribbles just past the half-court line and very calmly pulls up from 50 feet.
Pops it up.
And just and it goes in, and they win. And it's like, how is it possible that a team can be this good? And so now you have a guy who... He's basically Steph Curry, but like 8 inches taller.
Yeah. I guess one of the questions that I'm not hearing a lot in discussions of this story is the part about Kevin Durant has he's signed a 2-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
He can opt out of the second year.
Right.
And again, more power to him. Mm-hmm. There's something very mercenary about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of like Darrell Revis, the cornerback who would bounce from the Jets to the Bucks to the Patriots, you know, kind of got his ring,
mm-hmm.
but has really kind of gone on 1-year contracts bouncing from team to team.
And we saw that
NFL.
A little bit with like Deion Sanders in his prime as well.
And seeing the way that basketball, you know, which is a chemistry-based sport,
mm-hmm.
in the pros now in basketball, you might get, I think, a little bit more of players playing on these 1-year deals,
mm-hmm.
kind of jumping from, you know, trying to form super teams and then just, you know, getting their ring and then going elsewhere.
Right.
Is that going to change pro basketball the way that college basketball's one and done has changed basketball to where, like, you have guys who would ordinarily go pro out of high school. They
mm-hmm.
can't go pro out of high school, so they played their freshman year, usually for Kentucky, Kansas.
Right.
And then you have kind of in college these super teams of unbelievably talented freshmen. You're not necessarily watching the arc of a career.
Mm-hmm.
You're just seeing, like, oh, have we loaded up enough massively powerful weapons
mm-hmm.
to just bulldoze everybody this year? Is that likely to happen in basketball? Where guys just do this?
It's strange. I mean, because so we're journalists, right? I mean, it's not assumed that you're going to be at any place for more than a couple of years, right? I mean, that's like the old way of like you're going to work until they give you the gold watch at the end of your career, right? I think that's something that's sort of broadly true about like labor in general now is that like you go someplace for a couple of years, you acquire some skills, and you go into the next place.
Yeah.
It makes sense that like Kevin Durant, who was drafted out of Texas when he was 19 years old and is now 27, is like maybe I want to go play somewhere else. But, you know, the NBA is weird in that the formula is two superstars.
Right.
The only way you can win a championship is two sort of all-star or superstar caliber players.
Yeah.
But what we've seen in the last few years is that teams have, like, three superstars,
right?
I mean, and to your point earlier about, like, centers to be named later.
Yeah.
That is sort of, like, not a long-term feasible solution, right? I mean, like, you have to, like, gut your bench to do that, right? That was sort of the reason Miami was sort of unsustainable, right? They had to sign these, like, old guys who were basically super cheap to be their bench, and so they weren't very deep.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned signing old guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ray Allen is talking about coming out of retirement to play for this team.
He's got to be 39, 40.
Yeah, he's been around a long time. I mean, you get to a point, you know, it wouldn't be his first title, but, you know, he clearly is like, hey, I'm going to go on that team. I'm going to win a ring.
Mm-hmm.
And you just start to think, like, why not just sign Karl Malone?
Right, why not just call Charles Barkley should come off the TNT and
yeah,
just get
like,
his
find,
ring.
Find, like, all-time great players who mm-hmm. haven't won rings. Get Dan Marino. from the Dolphins
at point guard,
to just come in and win a ring with this with this team. All right, so if you were listening at home, are you excited about the Golden State Warriors? Do you now hate the Golden State Warriors? Did you hate the Golden State Warriors before? Root for it, not root for it. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH or on Twitter at PCHH. You can hear full episodes of Pop Culture Happy Hour wherever you get your podcasts or at npr.org. Thank you so much, Gene.
Thank you, Stephen. It's fun to do this.